1 Peter 1:6. We've been talking about being Christ's ambassadors, yes? And how we need to be prepared, how God orchestrates and plans things so that we, in His good timing and perfect timing, have opportunities to display and represent our Lord and Savior. And I've been hearing from so many different sources recently about all of the opposition that people have been undergoing. And it seems, we talked about last week, how when you are ready to take a step out in faith, when you move forward, take a step towards Christ, maybe you're branching out a little bit in ministry, maybe you're taking on some responsibility in the church, you know, and you've been here for a little while, and God's moving in you, and you feel like you need to get involved more or something like that. Well, or maybe you haven't come to church very often, and you're making the decision, I'm going to be in church on Sunday morning if it kills me. All right? When you make those kind of decisions, the enemy who was slumbering because he didn't need to worry about you, do you understand? He now is awakened in a sense, and he says, Bill, I got to watch out for him now. I got to cause some trouble for that guy. Or Sue, she's getting on fire for Jesus. I've got to do some things to disrupt her life. Okay? And so the enemy gets busy at causing and starting fires, if you will, in your life so that you've got to address them, and it makes the decision that you made much, much more difficult. Okay? And we talked last time about the car's going to break down. Okay? Your washer's going to break down. Your pipes are going to spring a leak. The kids are going to be sick. There's going to be a fight on the way to church in the car. I know that don't happen to you guys. But just in case it did, you're in good company. Isn't it funny, though? Sunday morning, all hell breaks loose. Really, literally. And the enemy's pulling out all the stops, and he's making it so difficult. Doesn't he? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Now listen to this. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now listen, let's tune in on this. For a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Okay? These have come, why? So that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in what? And here it is. May result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So all of these things that are going on, they have a purpose. And it is to make you strong. It is to make your faith strong so that in everything that happens in your life, they see Jesus if we respond properly. And we don't always respond properly. We don't always respond Christian-like. We're not perfect. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. Though we try, though we work hard, we fail. And hence we need the blood of Jesus to cover us, to cover us. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I'm not sure whether I love this scripture or I dislike it very much. Sometimes I love it, I'll tell you when I love it, when I'm teaching you guys. When I have to read it for myself, I don't like it so much. I'm playing with you here. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure what?
Joy,
my brothers. Whenever you what? Face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Man, that just seems like a, I don't know what that seems like. It just don't seem like they ought to be in the same sentence. Right? Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God wants his children to be complete, well-rounded. Okay? When we go to college, we go through liberal arts studies. And that's just your basic stuff that pretty much everybody has to take. Okay? Your English, your history, your math, and stuff like that. Just basic stuff at a higher level, in most cases, higher level than high school. And then after those things are taken care of, then you're able to get into your study, your course of study. Okay? And basically, what they're hoping to do is to make a well-rounded student, okay? A student that has a good, in a sense, head on their shoulders, a good, well-rounded course of study that you know a little bit about lots of stuff, okay? And wherever you go, you can at least have some education in these areas, and that's the basic idea of it, okay? When we undergo trials of many kinds, notice, many kinds, all right? We are in faith college. We're in faith college. Isn't that great? Doesn't that make you happy? Don't that make you joyful? Yeah! I failed that class right there. Yeah? And what happens when you fail the class? You got to do it again. I think of the Israelites, how they were in college in the desert. How long were they in the desert? 40 stinking years they're in the desert. They're in faith college for 40 stinking years. Learning how to live for God, learning about God, learning how to live in unity with each other, learning how to treat each other according to God's laws. And when they didn't get it right, they just keep a wandering. They just keep a wandering. All right? 40 years it took them to get that. All right, before they were able to enter into the land that God had promised them. So when we go through these trials, eventually we get it. Eventually we learn to trust. Eventually we learn that God has got it all figured out. Eventually we learn that we don't need to know exactly what's coming around the next corner or after the next trial because God does. Eventually we learn to follow him regardless of where he is leading. Eventually we learn that he is the shepherd and it's our job to follow him. Do you understand? And so these trials have great purpose in our lives. And as it, keeping under all these things that we're talking about today, under the umbrella of being Christ's ambassadors, Okay? And as an ambassador, we are given all of the authority, we are given the power, we are given the knowledge to do what God is asking us to do. Why would the king, why would the king send out an ambassador and not give his authority to that guy, to that person? Why would the king do that? That person would be unsuccessful from the get-go. That's not how Christ has sent us out. He has equipped us with what we need and is and continues to equip us with what we need. Many of these things come through trials, difficulties where we learn how to respond to them. And I swear, if God gives me the opportunity, I'm going to write a book on some things that have changed my life. And it's very simple. We've alluded to these things very, you know, quite a bit here when we're together. And that is allowing and training yourself to think thankfully. Amen. And you really have to train yourself to think thankfully. Okay? And you've heard me mention, if I'm fixing a vehicle, all right, and something breaks when I'm trying to fix it, okay? Or the wrench slips off of the nut and I gouge up my knuckles, and a lot of you guys have been there, or maybe you ladies are working on something in the house and then something breaks and you are just so frustrated, okay? And it's in those times when things naturally just kind of spew it out of your mouth, isn't it? Okay? That doesn't happen to you guys. I know that, but just in case it did... Okay? We train ourselves in those times to think like this, okay? You begin to thank God for everything regarding that situation that you can possibly come up with. For instance, thank you, God, that I have this wrench. Really simple, stupid things, okay? But I'm telling you, it is really effective. It's really effective. Thank you, God, for that wrench. Thank you, God, for this vehicle that I have that needs to be fixed, and that most of the time, it gets me where I need to go. Thank you, God, that I have the strength to hold this wrench. Okay? Thank you, God, that I have a place to work on my vehicle. All right? You see how things are beginning to broaden? Thank you that I have the time to work on this vehicle. Okay? And you begin to think like that. Thank you, God, that even though I'm trying to... What would some of you ladies be doing? Okay, let's say that you've got to bake... You're making a meal, okay? And you're making this big meal, and you got lots of people coming over, so everybody's depending on you. Let's pretend that it's like Thanksgiving, okay? And you realize halfway into the meal, preparation of this meal, that you're missing two ingredients. You're missing the turkey. That would not be good. Okay? So you're missing some sort of ingredient that is necessary to do the dessert or something. Okay? And you're stuck there. You got people coming in an hour. You're ready to put this thing in the oven, and now you realize you don't have what you need. You are frustrated. Okay? So you can begin, and I may not be as good at this one as I might as the other one, but you can help me out. Thank you, God, for this oven. Okay? Thank you that the other things are just about ready. Thank you, God, that my family is on the way. Thank you, God, for my children. Thank you, God, that I have the ability and knowledge to make this stuff that my family's gonna love. Do you understand? Training yourself to think thankfully. It'll change your life. I've struggled for the better part of my life with anger and frustration. I get frustrated easily sometimes.
Yeah, me.
You too?
Yeah. Me.
And when I get frustrated, it almost at times will immobilize me, and I get angry.
Me.
And then I can't function right, and then everything goes bad after that. Okay? Can you take a message for me? So you're training yourself to think thankfully. And I promise you, when you begin to think like this, it will change your life too. I challenge you to think thankfully. And so when we are being Christ's ambassadors, he wants us, when we go out, as he's sending us out, he wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be well-rounded Christians. He wants us to be educated in some way. And so he enters us into faith college. Yeah. And we begin to suffer, as that word said now in 1 Peter 1:6. Now for a little while, you may have had to suffer many trials of many kinds. You know? But God says that I have overcome the world. And you know what? You need to take comfort in the fact that your God and your King is overseeing all of it. Amen. In your life. May that put you at rest. May that comfort you. May that encourage you. And I promise you, he will never leave you. He won't forsake you. He won't leave you there alone. Amen. He's with you every step of the way. And he's preparing you for something greater. He's calling you from the muck in the mire life that you used to live. Okay? And he's calling you up, come up out of there. Don't live that way anymore. That's the old Russ. That's the old Sue. We don't live like that anymore. That's my old man. That's my old woman. That's the person I used to be. When we're baptized, that's what we're doing. We're making a public expression of an inward decision that we made to lay down the old person. And when we go under that water and we come up essentially somebody new. It's like we're making a public expression that that old guy, he stays there. And now I'm taking on the new Russ. We are born again, the Bible says. We are born again. Hallelujah. You talk about having a second chance. Wow. Wow. Some of us, our lives before we came to Jesus were just wake after wake of destruction. Wherever we went, there was destruction and problems and stress and all these different things. God doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want you to live that way. He wants to take you. He wants to lead you along the path of righteousness so that he can bless you. God wants you to live a life of peace, not of stress. Amen. All right? A normal amount of stress, that kind of comes with living, okay? It's just part of life, okay? But God doesn't want you to stay there, okay? And as we come to Christ, it is a constant walk. We're constantly becoming more like Christ. Our faith is constantly being tested and made stronger. Why? Why is that? Because it's really important to God. It's so important to God, it's worth more than the finest gold. All right? And that faith has a purpose because you are representing Christ wherever your feet take you. Do you understand? You are representing the Lord everywhere you go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4. Yeah, I think these two verses should go right together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with what? Thanksgiving. There it is. Thanksgiving has a gentle look on the outside, but in that is lots of power. There's lots of power in thankfulness that you don't even think about. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now listen to this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, a few books back. Or one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Now listen, I'm going to start in verse 11. They may not have it up on the PowerPoint, but it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why is that? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. If God doesn't allow us to go through trials, we will not be the well-rounded, strong Christian that God desires for us to be. Okay? And so, even though these things are in many cases painful, and a lot of times they take longer than we had hoped. Yeah? They are accomplishing something. Okay? And those things are preparing us to be able to show others Christ, to display who He is. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it talks about, and we've been referencing this now for a few weeks, but we are His workmanship, the Bible says. His, in a sense, handiwork, some versions say. His handiwork, the work of His hands. Okay? If you think about a carpenter or a woodworker, they take wood and they make stuff with it. Okay? Houses, porches, and garages, and maybe even smaller things, you know, carvings or different things like this. And that is the work of their hands. People that work with tapestries, you know, they take various fabrics and they sew them together, and they make beautiful tapestries, beautiful creations with their hands. The potter will do the same with a lump of clay, a messy lump of clay. You know what he first does? Just like that. Just slaps it down, just like that. Okay? And it looks like nothing but a glob of clay. But before long, that thing is taking on shape. And that thing is going to have a job to do, whether it's just to look pretty on a shelf or to serve people every day or whatever the case may be. That glob of clay is going to have a purpose when it's done, as are you and I. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. We are His workmanship, created for what? Good works in Christ. Good works in Christ. God is shaping us to do and be able to perform good works in Christ Jesus. And you know what? When you come to Christ, Sometimes we think that all the bad stuff we've done in our lives is going to be wiped away and we won't have to deal with the consequences. It doesn't work that way, okay? We have to deal with the consequences. But now when we come to Christ, we have the promise that he will carry us through it. We have the promise of his blessings upon us. And he will help us to live an upright life. All right? The Bible says the righteous will live by faith. They will live by faith. Not on what we see around us, but we will live by faith. Take heart, friends. Amen. Take heart. Don't grow weary in doing good, the Bible says. Okay? God has a plan. He's shaping you. He's making you ready. And he's sending you out with a mission. You are his ambassador. You represent him in Medina High School, in Albion School, in Lindenville, in Oakfield, wherever you may go. You are representing Christ to your peers, to your friends, and to those that are not your friends as well. You are representing Christ in your workplace, in your homes. Okay? Wherever your feet take you, you are representing Christ. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 19. This is an interesting verse. Proverbs chapter 22. Where am I? Verse 19. That's not the one. Somebody look this up for me. It says something along the lines, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings, not obscure men, or something like that. Somebody help me out. Look that up. For some reason, I had it as Proverbs 22:19. 22 what?
29.
Yep, that's the one. Thank you very much. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. Do you see a man skilled in his work? God will use him, use her, to be the work of his hands. Isn't that interesting? God will use you to represent him. In 1 Peter chapter 3, man, I love God's word.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Oops. Love to hear those pages rustling. You don't hear them a lot anymore. People got it on their iPads and their tablets and their phones, which is good. That's good. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Now listen to this. Keeping in mind that we're talking about being Christ's ambassador, okay? But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, now listen, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Okay? So what this is saying here is be ready all the time to give an answer to somebody that comes up to you and says, why are you the way you are? Why don't you just delve into drinking and partying like everybody else at work? Why don't you do that? I've had that happen to me, I bet you close to a dozen times. Why don't you do that? You know? And I remember one time as a young man, one of my first jobs I had, I was working at Bell's in Batavia. Okay? And everybody else, after work, they would go out and party, have a few drinks or something like that. And I was 16 years old, I think. And they're asking me, and I would say no. And it was really hard. I was really struggling with that. And one of my youth leaders said, well, you can just tell them that that's not your way. That's not my way. And it armed me with something, a sort of response. And I used that very thing. I ripped it off, man. I used that bugger. And I just told them, that's not my way. That's not me, you know? And they're like, oh, okay. You know? And then they would constantly ask me, but that was my response, and it made me stronger the more I had to give an account, you know, and it opened the doors for me to share with them, especially when I was working at Pepsi in Loose Ends in Batavia. Oh my gosh, every day, all day long, 14, 15-hour days sometimes, I was having opportunities to share Christ with people. I would be down in the back of my truck on my knees in the morning before I got to my first stop and just praying, God, give me the words to speak to people today. And all day long, he would give me the opportunity to share with people and to love them and to point them to the truth. He was teaching me how to be his ambassador. Be ready. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Isn't that awesome? For the hope that you have. God's word has everything we need, the Bible says, for life and godliness. We are in faith college, and sometimes I think that we never graduate, but we're getting credits added to our transcripts the whole time, yeah? And with each trial, you know what? Trials end. They don't just keep going and going and going and going and going. They end, okay? And you will be better for it. You'll be stronger. Your faith will be stronger. You will be more equipped than when you first began to do the will of God in your life. Amen. And he promises to be there with you every step of the way. You don't need to worry or fret or fear, as we read in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition and what? Thanksgiving, right? Make your requests known to God. That's good stuff. That's good food, people. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's close in prayer. You know, the Lord has just really been speaking to me about this issue. And I really feel like this year, we prayed, wow, Wednesday. Who was with us Wednesday? Man, oh man, was that amazing or what? That was really cool. I want to invite you, if you don't come to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, 6:30, all right, for an hour. We have a little bit of worship, then we pray, we testify to each other, and good stuff. But man, some really cool things happen on Wednesday night, all right? And so I want to invite you, 6:30 Wednesday nights, come, take part in it. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are giving us this series, Lord, and that you are speaking to us and preparing us, Heavenly Father, for works of service, for good works in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. You're preparing us, God, and equipping us to be able to go and represent you to other people, whether on a small scale or a big scale. You're preparing us, Heavenly Father. And I pray that you would help us. Give us receptive hearts, oh God. Help us to be responsive to you. Help us, God, to be strong. Carry us, Lord. Teach us, Heavenly Father. We pray these things in your name. Amen.